Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo. Cambridge 105
Radio. Fresh talks begin today on how to get cross-party support for the Prime Minister's Brexit agreement. Several weeks of discussions between the government and Labour broke down on Friday. The Shadow Brexit Secretary, Keir Starmer, was in Cambridge on Saturday morning doing some campaigning ahead of the European elections, and I caught up with him on Victoria Road. So on Friday, the Brexit talks, the cross-party Brexit talks, came to an end. I'm wondering, at any point during that process, you thought to yourself, yeah, we got something here, we can make a deal.
I don't think we ever reached that point, but I would say this, that the talks were in good faith on both sides. The government team was led by David Lidington, who I hold in high regard, and we spent a long time looking at the detail of a possible deal, but in the end, there was too big a gap on the substance. Because on things like a customs union, the government just couldn't make a significant change in its policy. But more importantly, in the end, was the fact that it was impossible to disentangle the talks from the leadership contest that has already started in the Conservative Party, unfortunately.
And that, I suppose, was one of the issues, really, which I think has been mentioned, this problem that whilst the Prime Minister might very well make a deal in the best of faiths now, in, as you say, 3-4 months' time, or whenever a leadership contest might come, under new management, might have a few new rules.
Now, this is a real problem. Once the Prime Minister said, I'm stepping down, then the shelf life of any deal is obviously short. And to just take one example from last week, on Monday we were in face-to-face discussions with the government. On Tuesday, Boris Johnson and Dominic Raab were signing a letter saying, firstly, we'll never agree to a customs union, and two, this can't bind any successor to Theresa May. So they were deliberately torpedoing the talks, and this is the problem. It wasn't the good faith of those in the room that was in doubt. It was the fact that cabinet members and those that want to be party leader on the Conservative side were deliberately targeting any progress and making it absolutely clear that, as far as they were concerned, this would last no more than a few weeks.
But there's issues on both sides, of course. Both parties, Labour and Conservative, are being torn a little bit, or pulled, should I say, from one side to another, because, you know, we're here in Cambridge, you're here doing some door knocking this morning. Daniel Zeichner has always said he will support the will of the people of Cambridge, which was very much to remain. But if we were having this conversation in northeast England with the local Labour MP there, it would be a whole different set of issues.
Well, it's certainly true there are different views in the Labour Party, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise. And that is for a number of reasons, including the fact that a third of people who voted Labour at the last election and the one before that voted Leave, broadly speaking, and two-thirds voted Remain. And inevitably MPs are concerned about representing properly those that they represent. So the approach that we took was, obviously, we campaigned to remain in the EU, and those values of Remain are very deep in the Labour Party. But having lost the referendum, we said, well, we accept the result and we will now give the Prime Minister space to negotiate a deal. So we signed off the Article 50 process. And we made it clear at the time that we wouldn't accept whatever she brought back. We now see what she's brought back. It's a deal that is not good enough and it isn't getting through Parliament. So in those circumstances, we've said, to break the impasse, if that is the only deal on the table, it needs to go back to the public. And the significant phrase in the manifesto written by Jeremy Corbyn is that if the Prime Minister is confident that she's secured a deal that's good for our economy and our communities, she shouldn't be afraid to put that back, that deal back to the public.
It's jumping ahead a bit, but what sort of question would you put? Would you put, like the deal which she's got, or it's no deal, or does it become, I don't know, almost like proportional representation, like the European elections ahead?
Yeah, well, whatever the question is would have to be determined by Parliament. But from a Labour Party point of view, what we've said is there's got to be a credible leave option. So it's got to be something that if people want to leave, that is a doable deal and we can leave. And that, and the Prime Minister's deal is that, in the sense that the EU has signed it off and it could be ready to be implemented. But also Remain has to be either default or the other option. Now, in the end, Parliament will have to decide. But, you know, credible leave option plus Remain is the position the Labour Party has adopted.
Do the electorate get all of this? You know, you've been knocking on the doors around here on Victoria Road this morning, meeting a few people. What, you know, do they welcome you, or are they questioning you?
Well, I've been here in Cambridge this morning with a team of 20 or 30 Labour members and activists knocking on the doors, which is as good a way as possible, I think, of getting a sort of natural reaction from people. And the reaction this morning has been good in the sense that most people have said to me that they are going to vote for the Labour Party, or at least they'll think about it. There are concerns about, you know, whether strong views in Cambridge about remaining in the EU, as you would expect. I've been across the country. I was in Liverpool and Leeds, and I've been in Bristol, Swindon and Milton Keynes. You get different messages, but I think there is this sense that people want to break the impasse and move forward. The difficulty is that lots of things were said in the referendum which should never have been said, and some of the promises that people heard are undeliverable. So it is impossible to give £350 million to the NHS. We were told that the EU was so dependent on the UK it would give us exactly the same deal as we've got now. Obviously, that didn't come to pass. And we were told that, you know, countries around the world would be lining up with trade deals for us that they wouldn't give to any other country. None of this has come to pass. And so there is a realism, I think, that people are engaged in now. They want to move forward. They want to break the impasse. And the only way realistically to do that is for the Prime Minister to think again about her deal, or agree that her deal's got to go back to the public so that they can actually decide, is this a good enough basis for leaving or not?
And can we take the result of the European election within the British Isles as an indicator of this? I noticed there was a poll in the Times, I think it was, on Friday, which suggested that the Liberal Democrats had crept up a point above Labour. And I know you'll probably say to me, oh, you can't rely on a poll, etc., etc. However, there is this little bit of a concern that both parties might take a hammering, Conservative and Labour, and we're left with, well, I don't know, even more confusion than before we started.
Well, lots of polls are out there showing slightly different things, but I'm not going to pretend that there hasn't been an increase in what seems to be the intended vote for the Liberal Democrats, and we need to think about that long and hard in the Labour Party. What I do think is...
And is it a reflection of people's dissatisfaction, even though people could be voting in both directions, Andy?
Well, I mean, possibly. You know, the trouble is that we sort of go in for this groupthink. We think that everybody who's voting Lib Dem is doing it for the same reason, or Green, or even for us. And they're not necessarily. But it's undoubtedly something that we've got to take very seriously and reflect upon. But I think the most important thing, in a sense, is that, or the greatest concern, is that we're a country that should not be badged by the intolerance that goes with some of the rhetoric that Nigel Farage and others engage in. We're not a country of intolerance. We're not a country that thrives on division. And it's very important that there's a positive internationalist case being made in these elections. And that's what we're trying to do.
And finally, more indicative votes, it seems, on the way. It looks like BBC Parliament will maintain its lead over MTV and the TV ratings, which has happened. Is there an end in sight to all of this? What do you see the end point being?
Well, the Prime Minister said we might have indicative votes. I'm not so sure that's a good idea, and I think she may be reflecting on it. The idea that government policy on something as important as Brexit is sort of outsourced to whoever wins on an indicative vote seems to me odd as a matter of principle. But we do need to break the impasse. I think the EU would be prepared to look at, for example, the political declaration again, not obviously the withdrawal agreement. So that needs to be properly explored. Or the government should consider breaking the impasse by putting the option of a public vote on the face of the bill so that we can move forward and put Theresa May's deal to the country to decide whether it can be confirmed as a deal that they want or rejected if it's not. But one way or the other, the government needs to break the impasse and not simply use up the available time between now and October, which is when the next cliff edge will be if we're not careful.
So, Keir Starmer, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cambridge 101.